You're listening to the Real Intelligence Podcast, presented by RXA, a leader in business intelligence and data science consulting services. We're here to bring attention to the unique stories, perspectives, challenges, and success that individuals in the data industry face at every career stage. Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in to the Real Intelligence Podcast. You're on today with Jason Harper, CEO and founder of RXA, and Anna Schultz, Marketing Coordinator at RXA. Our guest today is Sarah Morthy, Managing Partner and Co-Founder at Levend. As a founding team member at Levend, Sarah focuses on product development and helping her clients develop strategic marketing plans, design marketing infrastructures, and establish tools for campaign measurement. Prior to Levend, Sarah has gained over 20 years of experience in performance marketing, media, and data analytics. She has worked as a strategic planning and analytics lead at several companies, including Draft Worldwide and Publicis. In 2006, she co-founded a digital and CRM agency in San Francisco, which was later purchased. Her clients have included Google, GoPro, Sprint, Microsoft, Intuit, Hewlett-Packard, Adobe, Electronic Arts, and Toyota. Sarah has won many awards for her past work, including an Addy from the American Advertising Federation, a One Show Interactive Award from the One Club, which champions excellence in advertising and design, an NCDM Database Excellence Award, and several Echo Awards from the International Direct Marketing Association. Sarah holds a Bachelor of Science from Indiana University's Kelley School of Business and an MBA and Master's in International Business from Pepperdine University. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Absolutely. We're so excited to have you here with us today. We like to start off the podcast by getting to know the real you. So I have a few questions that we might not find the answers to in your professional bio. In our conversations prior to this, you mentioned that you started working on the web in 1994 with a company website. Do you have any fun memories or anything you want to share from working in the early days of the internet?
Yeah, I think so. I worked for a software and reseller, and they really focused on targeting engineers and scientists. So it was perfect target audience for people that were early on the web. And so what I was in charge of was doing a lot of marketing for them. And I remember working on my first banner ad, which I didn't even really know what it was. And I was working with the engineers at the University of Illinois, and we were going back and forth designing a banner ad that would then later be placed on Windows Magazine's website. And so that initial process of like doing this whole thing manually and negotiating the pricing and putting it on the websites and going back and forth was fascinating, because 5 years later, that was my career. And it was amazing to see how it completely changed and how automated it became over time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, seeing that change from, you know, doing everything manually to, you know, everyone just doing their own kind of ads on Google Analytics today is probably pretty crazy. Yeah. My second question for you, so you've, you know, been working in marketing or data analytics, you know, for a very long time now. And is there anything that you've seen in the industry that you consider maybe to be underrated or not taken as seriously as, you know, you would like?
Yeah, it's interesting, because I've had this conversation with a couple of clients recently, and you know, I ended up finding this quote about from Mark Twain that said, "Data is like garbage. You better know what you're going to be doing with it before you collect it." And I think what I see is a lot of times are people collecting a lot of data and then producing these reports that absolutely have no meaning. So I think, you know, I always go back to clients and why are we collecting the data and what are we going to do with it, and you know, how are we going to really, in the marketing space, at least from which I work in, is how are you going to use it to optimize? And so, you know, and the other piece of it is people get into the minutia and forget about the bigger business trends. So how do you kind of couple those things together to be able to get the real insights that would actually grow your business?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all very true. So in your own words, I know I kind of gave you a bit of an introduction, but can you walk us through maybe your career journey, what got you interested in marketing and analytics in the first place, and kind of how you learned some of those insights?
Yeah, I definitely had an interest in marketing. I didn't, you know, when I was going to school, there really wasn't this kind of functional area of marketing analytics. So I studied a lot of marketing and advertising in school. And then I ended up starting my career in, in Germany, and I was doing more market research and, you know, went to Germany, worked for a pharmaceutical company that was looking to go into the Eastern Bloc countries at that point to be able to push their products through and to a new audience. So I did a lot of market research in that area and then came back and worked at some random different jobs in marketing for hospitals and in the healthcare industry. And then finally got into what I would say is measurable marketing when I started working for the reseller that I mentioned in the software industry, because they were a cataloger, and catalogers historically have done a lot with data. And how do you manage data and to be able to get the best ROI in marketing? So I really was able to teach myself how to kind of connect those dots early on. And I was lucky. And then I was exposed to digital marketing, as you had already asked me about. And so from there, I went and started working for agencies and then became, you know, started my own business with my business partner in 2006 that was really sold in 2008. And then quickly, you know, I started in analytics and then went into a little bit more focused on marketing and strategy. And I think that would put me in a very good position to be able to actually connect those dots continuously through my career. And then most recently started Levin a few years ago with a co-founder. And, you know, basically Levin is a cloud-based platform that executes marketing mix models in about a tenth of the time and at a much lower cost. And so, you know, we found this niche in the marketplace that we really want to take advantage of.
Well, that's incredible. And thank you again for me for joining, Sarah. It's really exciting to talk to you. And I think, you know, it's funny in listening to, you know, some of your thoughts on the early web, as someone who also got started in the late 90s, like the concept of the 468 by 60 is just so ingrained in my mind as like, that's what an internet ad is. And then I do remember the massive innovation when skyscrapers became available. And I remember thinking, oh, this is a game changer. It's kind of funny to look back at that. So thank you for sharing that. And I think, you know, the work that you're doing today at Levin and that is it's really interesting, like the speed with which you guys are able to do that stuff and learning from yourself and, you know, from our friends in common, shout out to Balin, things like that. And you guys really it's really impressive, you know, what you guys have done there. So appreciate you making time for us. I have a few questions for you as well. So in some of our previous conversations, you said that you see data really as this agent for growth and change. So I'm hoping maybe you could expand on that, perhaps share a few sort of, you know, case studies on where you've seen data transform some businesses and customers that you've worked with.
Sure. Yeah. So I think just historically, I've worked in customer analytics first. And, you know, whether it was working at the catalog company or getting into direct marketing and even into the digital space, it was really about finding that customer level data to be able to, at that individual piece of being able to increase their likelihood to purchase, or, you know, if they were ready to churn, to stop that churn, or if there was segmentation, to be able to find the right segments, to be able to use that information to really focus in on the right spend levels to be able to maximize some clients' ROI. So historically, I've done a lot of lookalike models, whether it was offline or online, to be able to see what are the key factors that would drive someone to convert and then prioritize those customers. So I've done that for you know, clients like Intuit and as well as at Electronic Arts and things like that. And then the second piece is, more recently, is leveraging this idea of marketing mix modeling and using it quicker, knowing the deprecation of cookies in that space, is how do you even leverage it for digital marketers? I tend to work with a lot of direct-to-consumer clients, and so they move fast. And so the ability to be able to kind of take this data and then say, you know, if they test it into some broad reach media, which they can't measure even with the level of cookies that we're getting right now, how do you make sure that the television is having an impact on your business? And that's how this marketing mix has really been able to help us. So, you know, clients like Chewy that I've worked with in the past have leveraged our models to be able to really grow their business. You know, we're working with several other DTC companies recently that have use the MMM to be able to prove out this broader reach media to be able to then reallocate their budgets to grow their business.
Thank you. So kind of along those lines, it's very actionable what you're talking about here, right? And so one of the biggest gaps I've seen in the past 20 years of working in this field, actually more than 20 years now, that's a long time, is that like folks do spend a lot of time in the data gathering and like visualizing, and they can create and spend a lot of effort coming up with dashboards and metrics and analytics that make people feel good, like, ooh, I know these numbers. However, it doesn't necessarily change the way people do business. It doesn't actually change decisions that are being made. And it's not necessarily used in a practical way. Some of the things you're talking about are true practical applications of the data, and like the real actual value that we're trying to create is actually being achieved. So I think a lot of that comes from, and based on my conversations with you and what I've learned here, is, you know, your ability to take your media experience and this concept of like combining like data storytelling with the actual output of the analytics, output of tools like MMM and MTA to create real actionable recommendations or even self-service actions that your clients can take with your products. I'm wondering if you could maybe sort of like expand on how you're actually seeing, you know, through your career, your ability to actually deliver these actionable recommendations and seeing your clients actually do things differently.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, like to that question. I think the big thing, you have the data, and then you can say, the data is telling you this, let's go change that. There is a function of, can the client take that risk to say, yeah, that's right, and actually put it in a marketplace and test it. So the way I typically approach it with clients is, here's the data set, we're running it through, we're finding this insight, then combining that with the media metrics, right? There's actual media knowledge and media metrics that need to be combined. I've seen, and I've actually worked with other data analytics teams where they're just giving me the data and saying, good luck, figure out what it means. And I think it's really important to connect this kind of front-end data, what I call media data, to cross-reference what this and what the actual results back-end data is. And then the second step is, okay, client, like, here's what it's saying. Here's how we need to then put it into market and test it. Obviously, a lot of clients are going to be risk-averse with their budgets. So how do you get a test in market that is minimizing their risk? And, you know, those are those things that marketing people know that analytics people might not know. And, you know, is that 80-20 rule, can I take that 20% of that budget and test it? Because I know 80% of that budget is working hard for me, then I know that their revenue is going to be coming in. And then, so we'll take, that's our approach, is basically to be able to use that test budget, put it in market, make sure that there's enough data points to be able to come back and validate it, then roll out with it as we go forward.
Well, I think so. Thinking about that, like how you're actually able to kind of bring this together, right, and bring this together at scale too. So replicating that process for not just your interactions with clients, but your team's interactions with clients and your team's ability to do that. I mean, you have extensive leadership experience, and I'm wondering, how can you take, do you have any specific sort of like philosophies, or like how have you been able to take kind of like the Sarah version of this and actually help others replicate that and find that success at your company with your clients?
Yeah, that's for me, that's really important, of like this idea of mentorship for my team. But, you know, first and foremost, I always try to hire people that are way smarter than me and, you know, can really provide a different perspective. I think that's really important. And you know, I want to hope that I lead with knowledge and innovation and commitment to like really hard work and, you know, sprinkling in a little bit of nurturing. And that's where your question is really kind of triangulating to, which is, you know, I'm not a perfect leader, but to be able to kind of make sure that I'm teaching the team how to think about the business and putting the client first and making sure that we are, being able to provide those opportunities to really show the client how to grow their business. You know, advertising is full of opportunities to fail. I always say that to everybody. Like in my 25 years of being in it, you know, I can't remember doing work for a client where something didn't fall apart, and it's really about how quickly can you recover, and it becomes really, really stressful. So what I've really focused on is that recovery process and how quickly can we pick ourselves up as a team and kind of move forward and make sense of everything that's happening and change quickly with some sense of grace around it.
Mm. How do you find, what are some of your tips to dealing with sort of like going through these with grace with customers? So in my experience, there can be varying, it's a very high stress position to be in because, you know, clients can, the bar for firing an agency is much lower,
yeah,
right, than the other way. So I guess, do you have any sort of guidance or tips on navigating those gracefully?
Yeah, I think it's baked in honesty, right? Like, I think hopefully both peoples on both sides of the business, the agency as well as the client, are reasonable people. And, and the client, most of my clients have always known that there's always going to be some slip ups on either side. And I think that it's baked on trust and honesty. And I think, you know, and I do, you're right. I see in the industry that there's this kind of turnstile relationships that happen with agencies that didn't exist before. And I think that that's part of it, is there's maybe some inherent lack of trust. And I think that over, you know, you have to develop a baseline of a good relationship. And then as things happen, as you move quickly and things happen, everybody gives each other a little bit more of a grace period.
Yeah, I think the living in Zoom reality does sometimes make those relationship building, it's been a little bit of a challenge,
yeah,
you know, when not being able to be as in person as much, but it does also allow for more frequent touch points because it is easier to connect through these ways and we're used to it.
Yeah.
Are you, like, I guess, like, how are you seeing the relationship side developing over the past couple of years?
It's been hard. You know, I think that there is nothing like face-to-face conversations, and there's the nuance of all the communication that's unsaid that you can see face-to-face. And but I think what we've done is try to touch base with clients more and more frequently in shorter time periods. Like, I don't need an hour call with you. 30 minutes is fine, or 15 minutes just to touch base. And sometimes I just reach out to clients just to say hi and see how they're doing. Because those are those things that happen face to face that you can't do. You have to make a concerted effort when you're working in the Zoom world.
Yeah, it sounds like I would say that you're being very intentional with your client outreach,
yeah,
and you're doing it in a very focused and intentional way and cultivating it specifically just for the relationships, yeah, not just to check in on status.
Yeah, and I'm doing that with staff too, right? Like with the team.
Yep.
I think that that's also important. Just every once in a while, just like Slacking them, just asking them how they are, or right before we get on the, you know, team meeting, asking people random questions to see what's going on. I think that you're right. It's a very intentional effort. So have to be super conscientious of it.
One other still fairly related topic, but thinking about just more general sort of mentorship and advice that you give to folks. So I think, you know, and with your experience, I mean, you face some significant headwinds, I think, in your career, you know, being a woman in data and analytics field, and then also in entrepreneurship. I think it's a very, you're facing challenges that I'm not even aware are out there, right? Having been in the same field for roughly the same amount of time and doing similar work. And I think I would love to hear if you have any perspective or anything that you would like to share with folks in that regard that you found, you know, helpful or advice. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm also a person of color. And so when I started in the business, even in advertising, there just weren't a lot of women of person of color, even like males, persons of color. And so there was the female piece of it, and then there's kind of the minority piece of it. And so I think the advice that I have, and I've spoken on panels about this, and it's, to me, the great thing about this, and I worked in Germany, which was interesting. I remember distinctly when I was about to finish my job there, the women that were working there are like, go home, because there is no room for someone like you here, because you're really smart and there's a glass ceiling and you're never going to be able to break that in this society. And so I came back to California and started my career. And I think what my advice to anybody is, you know, just take advantage of the opportunities. And, you know, it's that, I can't remember who said it, like Thomas Edison or something, but opportunity looks is always cloaked in the, and that looks like hard work. And it's true. And I was very, very lucky. I had a lot of mentors that were helping me along the way, but they also knew that I was committed to doing the work. And I think the advice is, don't let, you know, if you can't grow your career in a certain company or a certain field, what can you do to find the opportunities in other areas? Whether you want to switch your career and find something that's a better fit, or do you go to a different company? I think experience, having as many different experiences as possible is really, really important.
I love it. I think I have one more question for you. And I think, sorry, I mean, somewhat related to looking at opportunities and things too, but so if you weren't in a marketing analytics profession, so take that off the table, what would you be doing?
We were just having this conversation with some friends at a cocktail hour. And I was like, I would totally want to be a private detective for the police department, because, or a detective for the police department, I should say, like Olivia Benson on SVU. We always say, what's your superpower at work? Like, what are you really good at? And I think for me, I'm a good problem solver. I love looking and finding problems to be able to solve and putting those pieces together. So it would be really interesting to do that in a situation that could really help somebody.
I love it. I think it's great. And I will note that my father was a police detective. Oh. So I'm very familiar with that line of work. And I'm not quite sure it's as glamorous as it's been depicted on television. But yeah. It's definitely a lot of hard work.
Yeah. And advertising is not glamorous like Mad Men shows it to be either.
Well, as a total true crime junkie, I'm with you. I totally agree with that.
We can exchange true crime TV shows that we watch.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Well, thank you, Sarah, so much for your time today. I think your story is super inspiring. And we're really grateful that you took the time to walk us through your career journey, lend some inspiration, lend some advice that you've learned along the way. So thank you again so much. Before we wrap things up, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience? Any parting advice or thoughts?
First of all, I wanted to thank you both for having me. I think,
no problem.
You know, I think as Jason knows, the data world is changing every single day. And I think if you're working in it, is to be flexible and to kind of bob and weave with the industry. So I think I always look at things as endless opportunities as opposed to kind of roadblocks. So hopefully that, you know, continue to see it that way.
The Real Intelligence Podcast is presented by RXA, a leading data science consulting company. RXA provides project-based consulting, staff augmentation, and direct hire staffing services for data science, data engineering, and business intelligence to help our clients unlock the value in their data faster. Learn more by visiting our website at www.rxa.io or contacting our team at learn@rxa.io today.